This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Well, it is just a joy to be here. It just feels kind of, when I see just older ladies that have been a part of my life here, I'm like, oh, what does this mean? And yet it applies to so much. And a lot of what I'm sharing is discipling younger women in our own culture. I don't have any experience of girls outside of our culture, but I really do believe that what I have to share is universal. You may have to move forward. This is just a recording. Yeah, there's no mic. So feel free. So if you can't hear, and I'll try to raise my voice too. If you can't hear, raise your hand, and I can always speak louder. I gave my mother much grief. And so what I think I have to offer is universal to all people, but it is going to be of the perspective from my own experience. And 3 weeks ago, I was frustrated with this workshop. Nothing was coming together. It felt like all my failures, or what I interpreted as failures, were looming in front of me. And the song that kept going through my head was a song that often played on the radio at a place where I was employed as a young person, and I still hear it today in stores. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And that's what kept playing through my head. And so I was becoming desperate with the time frame that was happening. The gap was getting closer and closer to the time. And I remember one evening talking to Brandon and just said, I'm locked up. There's just a cloud there. And so we spent some time praying and just even just voicing that, I think, brought freedom. And the next day, it came to me. It was just like, Marie, this isn't just about mentoring, how to mentor, how to disciple. But it is the reason I enjoy working with people is because I want people to know my Jesus. And so the song that kept going through my head was, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? And that is, ladies, what gave me the courage and the strength and energy to put this, because I want people to know my Jesus wherever I go. Discipling is a way of life. Wherever you go, it may be the troubled cashier. You know, to tell her, you're beautiful today, rather than to be repulsed with all the piercings, with all the things that we don't understand. So discipling is a way of life. So thinking about that, I want to open up, when you think of a disciple, what are some of the words that come to mind? I just want to open it up. What is a disciple? A learner. A follower,
a friend,
an encourager. Mm-hmm. And we could spend just a lot of time, but thinking of those, and I think there were two that really, a discipler is a leader and a follower. And so it's not just a discipler isn't something that you just attain and now I'm a discipler. I continually need to be discipled. I continually need to be encouraged. And so it really is discipling younger women under that title. It is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It may mean just a wink. When you see somebody across the room and you wink at them, you've discipled them. You've encouraged them. And here there's so many people that you hardly ever get to see, and you see them and you just give them a hug, and it's just so good. No words have been exchanged. A hug. You've discipled. You've encouraged. And so that is what we want to think about. As we talk about discipling younger women, there's three areas I would like to consider. Who are you? What are your apprehensions? Things to pay attention to. And prayer. So when we think of who are you, and those of you that were in my workshop yesterday, some of this stuff will be the same, but just be bear with me. When I think of knowing who you are, and there can be a lot of caution out there on the energy of discovering who we are, and it can go overboard. I understand that. But there's a verse that in John 13, verses 2 through 4, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. So Jesus, knowing he had come from the Father, and was going back to the Father, gave him clarity. Gave him clarity about what he should do. And so it's under that kind of giving clarity. Who were you born to be? And so just a picture that I like to think about, and I'm going to open it up. What do you see in this picture? And I just... A what?
A woodland retreat.
A woodland retreat. Sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Green leaves.
Green leaves.
A fallen tree.
A fallen tree.
Quietness.
Quietness.
Peace.
Peace. See, all of us, we either see the whole picture, or we see one little thing. And most of us, we're either a tree or a forest. And we need both, but that's where our conflict comes. If you're a tree, you're probably and married, and you're probably married to a forest. If you are a forest, you're probably married to a tree. And that's where a conflict comes in, because we're not agreeing on the same thing, and each one is important. And I'm right, because I feel it so deeply. And so the people that see the fallen tree, they take good care of, they just sense a need. They like the one-on-one stuff. And so one way to think about it is, are you a listener? Or are you one that gives direction? If you're a listener, you tend to be more the tree. You like that one person. And or are you one that gives directions? So trees, they love detail. Details are important, so important. And they also believe that everything needs to get done perfectly. And the forest, well, they're big picture. They prioritize. They believe some things need to be done extremely well, while other things are less critical. And often what feels like the less critical are the exact things that tree person thinks is very important. And so there's often conflict in that. And so to understand who you are, who you were created to be, is important as you think about discipling younger women. Another area that we want to look at are, what are your giftings? And I like, we use this book here, Uniquely You with the Nine Spiritual Gifts at Faith Builders. And I really like that. It just, it's, nine is a nice number. If it gets more than that, it can get pretty confusing. And so we use this. And if you do want to purchase that, just go down to the bookstore area and tell them you want them, and they'll send it to you, and they won't charge shipping if you order it today. And so just to let you know. And so I just took, these are just what I took from the descriptions and how I have experienced them with people. And so it's kind of my version of the giftings. There, it's not whatever, but it is just kind of thinking of the subject and how you may relate to the different giftings and how you may relate to people. So if you have the gift of evangelism, you'll always be ready to give an answer to every person. That's a goal. I have, any person that I see on the street, I have to have an answer. And you may also have more energy to reach the broader culture with the gift of evangelism. Prophecy. For the person that has the gift of prophecy, truth trumps. It doesn't matter what the individual has experienced, truth trumps. And if you're that type of a person, you can't help it. Don't try to change yourself. That's who you were created to be. Teaching. And so if you have the gift of teaching and you're working with people, you just love explaining things. You love questions, and you just love to expound on it. And just, oh, it just comes out of you without trying. A pastor shepherding gift, it's important to work together. It's working together in harmony is important. Along with, if you have this gift, it's important that they have the disciplines for spiritual health. And so you will have energy to talk about, well, have you used the discipline of whatever it may be for spiritual health? And you're going to tend towards that. Mercy is going to focus on feelings of the one who has been wronged. Being there for the hurting is important. So a person with the gift of mercy is going to do well in showing empathy towards the person that has been hurt or violated. Serving, just that person just enjoys helping others. And it may be that the person with the gift of serving may do more hands-on. Let's bake cookies together today. And so they may do more projects together with the person that they're helping. Giving, they have a keen sense on the difference between a person screaming for help and the person who really does need help. Many of us don't have that gift. We have many screamers, and we don't know which one to turn to. But the person with the gift of giving may have a better tendency toward knowing what really needs, who needs help. Administration, they're great evaluators. They give people ideas on how to move forward. And so when I think, and what really pushed me into looking at, well, what is my spiritual gift? I was sitting in a living room with a friend that wasn't a Mennonite person, but she associated a lot with the Mennonite ladies. And she asked, Marie, what is your spiritual gift? And I said, oh, I don't know. Sometimes I think it's serving. Sometimes I think it's giving. I just don't know. And she said, well, I haven't met a Mennonite lady yet who hasn't said her gift is serving. They all say it's serving. It's our culture. It's our culture. It's a gift that we've been handed to. But is it really our gift? Think about it. A person who often has the gift of serving doesn't care how their house looks. Ouch. Right? I want a 5-minute warning so that I can throw everything in the dryer before they come. I have to get it back out. But do you know, and so I thought that was interesting. So what is my gifting? And of course I went online, and there's so many free thingies you can do online, and I just decided, well, I'm just going to do it and just not care. And I didn't like where I came out at. But. Because I didn't want the gift of administration. Not as a Mennonite lady. The lady's nice and quiet. Administrative person gets so frustrated. They do everything wrong. And my oldest sister keeps telling me, she has the same gift. She keeps telling me, she says, "Well, Marie, just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you have to say it." And so I began to realize that gift was a gift. It was also my curse. Because I thought, because I saw it so clearly, everybody else does. So I was a very critical person. Because surely if Marie sees it, it was plain to everybody else. And I began to realize that is a gift. How can I soften it? And, you know, and to have to be that type of a person in our Mennonite culture isn't easy. Because we see things so clearly, and our culture is so community. And what do we do with that? And so it's important for us to understand that, what our giftings are. What are we going to tend towards? The giftings, if you look at it in Scripture, talk a lot about the body of Christ. And we need all these giftings to work together. And we have confused it. We've confused giftings with fruits of the Spirit. We think we need to have all the giftings. If I would really be a good disciple, I'd be good at all these. That's not God's command. It says we're a body. We each have our part to play. But He does command us that our fruits should be the fruit of the Spirit. And so often we get that confused. And we work on our giftings and forget that the attitude that we have towards the giftings that were given to us and the attitudes we have that were the giftings of others are really how the fruits of the Spirit blossom. And so it's so easy to do that. Another thing to do as you think of discipling younger women is just, what is your personal mission statement? And just to spend some time, a book that I often recommend is Living Life on Purpose by Lisa Turkhurst. And just, she lays it out in, a very simplistic form of, what is your mission statement? Have you ever written a purpose statement? And sometimes it's good, if you're a different phase in life, to reflect on that and see how some of that has changed. But to know, who are you? My mission statement has come, it came out of pages and pages of stories. And then that condensed into several pages, and then that condensed into one paragraph. So it takes time, it takes energy. But it is important. It just helps to understand who you are. And I remember when Brandon, he was really wanting me to do this, and I had, my boys were six and under, four boys under six, and I was just like, you're crazy. It made me mad that he had the nerve to ask me to write a mission statement when it was so obvious every day what I needed to do, and it exhausted me every day. I was a normal mom. And so I wasn't very happy. I said, what's going to happen is you're going to make me dream. And I don't want to deal with that right now. I just want to feel sorry for myself, for the responsibilities of meals, keeping a house clean, and keeping clean clothes in their drawer. It's not that I didn't find joy, and I found lots of joy. And so I felt I was okay with that. Just don't mess with my system. And yet, when I took the time to do it, life almost had a different meaning to it. There's like, oh, there's something bigger going on. What is your life verse? And I think that is always just important to keep in front of you as you deal with every situation, whether it's discipling, whether it's you being discipled, whether it's whatever thing you're going through life, just to have some verses in front of you. These are verses I often go back to, and these are some of my favorites. Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And that is so important for me to know. I want to be a learner. I want to be in His fold. I want to be His child. And for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And as a mom, I want God's faithfulness to go to the next generation. I really want that. Is that okay? Because faithfulness is not an easy journey. It's not a despairing journey. But I want to know that my faithfulness will continue through the next generation. Know what you believe. Know what you believe about God. Okay, why do you think this is important? When you think of discipling younger women, why is knowing what you believe about God important? How will that affect it? I want to open it up to you. Okay, it affects how your message comes forth.
Mm-hmm. It affects your message.
It affects your message, right. Can you say more on that?
Can I say more?
Yes.
Well, I can't know which time do you have. If we don't have something to give, we should not be discipled.
If we don't have something to give, we should not be discipled. That's right.
Because then we can say, I've been there. Mm-hmm. This is what happened.
Really what Paul says. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're nothing. I mean, all of you have been what I have been. Mm-hmm. And God's grace is big enough for it. Mm-hmm. And yet it seems sometimes many scriptures, as an older person, many scriptures on who God is, they feel contradictory to my human understanding. And too many of those misunderstood scriptures want us to believe in a God that rescues us rather than a God that abides in us. And so it's hard to understand some scriptures. He wants to participate. He wants us to participate with Him. And remember that. When you think about who God is, He wants us to participate with Him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that are weary, and I will give you rest. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. We need to believe that about God. That when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit is interceding for us. And that it's okay to be in that type of a situation. Hebrews 13:5, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And just to know we are God's servants and to be humbled by that. If we want people to grow in relationship with the Lord and be changed, you also need to be in relationship with the Lord and be changed. And about church, that is important also. We could have a discussion about this. Your view of the church is going to affect how you disciple younger women. Have I forgiven and accepted the flaws? Have I made peace with all the conflict that goes on among believers? Am I okay with that? It doesn't mean I have to be okay with it, but do I know how to wrestle with it? You're not going to do it perfectly, But you may need to wrestle with that with another person at the same time. Somebody is coming to you and say, what do I do about this? But to learn to wrestle, it's not about answers, but learning how to wrestle. And about our family and heritage. What do you believe about family and heritage? Have I appreciated the gifts and strengths in my family and culture? And then just do not try to lead in what you do not practice. So know what you believe. Discipleship is not one put together person telling another person how to get their life in line. And you know, one thing that I find interesting is I've just had a number of parents say, oh, I wish so bad my child would have a mentor. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Do you have a mentor? Oh, no, I don't need one. But I want one for my child. Well, see, you can't want something for someone else that you're not willing to put your life on the line either. And so maybe our children just need to have the model of watching mom and dad have a mentor. Know your limitations. And for me, and I think this is so important to remember when you know who you are, is to know your limitations. For me, one thing that I take into consideration is, of course, I'm in intentional mentoring with the mentoring program that Faith Builders has. And so there's many issues that come up. So when significant hurt has happened, I tend to send them to someone else for deeper help. That's just not, it's not really who I am. I can help with the initial piece of it. Even though I've had own abuse in my life, I can help them with the initial piece of it. But I'm not trained and equipped, and my mind doesn't quite work in the sense that somebody who sees the broken limb, they will really help them in ways that I can't. Because I just, you know, I don't enjoy sitting with someone for 3 hours and we just kind of plod along. Well, what next? What next? And that's not me. And I had to accept that as my limitation. That doesn't mean I don't care. That doesn't mean I can't be sensitive in those areas. But that's not where I'm going to shine. And I want to be more of who I am. And so I have people in my life that I can send them to. And so know your limitations. What are your apprehensions? When you think of meeting with someone, what are your apprehensions on, for you, the one discipling? Can you just give me a few? What are some apprehensions you have when you think of discipling younger women? Okay, nurturing. Mm-hmm. Will I know how to nurture? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
My own failures.
My own failures. Yes, and they're just giants in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Not enough time.
Not enough time. Yes, exactly. You're a busy person. You have all these things in ministry, and if I have to disciple, it's going to take time, and I don't have time. Mm-hmm. Not enough time. Will I do it right? Mm-hmm. Will she reject it? Reject you. Mm-hmm. Will she reject you? Mm-hmm. Giving them advice that may turn them against God rather than toward God. We can also take on the false humility where I need to have my act together before I can disciple someone else. Isn't that a big one too? Well, I don't have my act together. I have so many questions. Why would I have anything to offer to anyone? False humility. Those are just good examples. Let's think about the one being discipled. What are some apprehensions there?
Confidentiality.
Very good.
Will they still love me?
Mm-hmm. She's afraid. Lots of fear. Depending what the situation is, she probably has never voiced what she feels. That's pretty scary. It's one thing to feel all that stuff inside of you, but when you hear yourself saying it for the first time, it's lots of fear. And that's one of the enemy's tools, is to get you not to voice it. Because once you voice it, he loses power. It's not all taken care of, but the enemy loses power when you speak what you feel and what your fear is. Again, depending on the situation, she probably has never had her feelings validated. You always cry about that. You always get mad. And even how she thinks may have never been validated. Anything else that comes to mind? Shame and guilt. Mm-hmm. Isn't it easy? It's easy to just think, well, if you're the one discipling, it's so easy to concentrate on all those negative things. And we forget the fears that may be in the person that you're speaking to. Or the other way around. Third thing we want to look at is just pay attention. And these are just a few things. So when we start a new mentoring group, these are a few things that I pay attention to. I don't know if they're, it's who I am. And you need to be your own person. But a few things that I pay attention to as they begin speaking is their view of authority. It's not necessarily, I don't ask them, well, what is your view of authority? But I have an ear towards it. And what does that mean for me? It's not that I'm out to change their view of authority. That's not why I'm listening for their view of authority. But I'm listening for a window into how they think and respond. So if I'm starting a new mentoring group, and early on I see that, you know what, there's not a good relationship between mom and daughter, I kind of despair. You know why? Mom's not around. So who's going to be the mom figure? Me. And in some ways, I'd rather work with a lady who has issues with her dad than with their mom. Because somewhere, whenever you have issues with a parent or a person in authority, and you're away from them, somebody else becomes that. And so it's just more difficult to speak into that because the walls are so high. And how can you break them down? And so those are the things I listen to for when I think of paying attention to authority. Now, the thing I pay attention to is just their choices and decisions. How do they do that? Do they like to be told what to do, or do they dislike to be told what to do? And just to listen for that. Do they want advice? Don't they want advice? I'm not out to change them, but it helps me understand who they are. Another thing I pay attention to is, do they dismiss their feelings? I don't want their feelings to become their god or their idol, but I do want them to own what they feel as a path for them to pray about what they are feeling. When you can't own what you're feeling, it's hard to pray. And so I pay attention to, what do they do with their feelings? What do they do with blame? It's either I'm to blame, whatever conflict there is, I'm to blame, or it's all my fault. And you read story after story of even people, parents that have separated, where a child feels it was their fault. And even us as the Mennonite culture, when mom and dad were having an argument, it didn't matter if it pertained to you. Some of us here, as little people, felt like it was my fault. And you didn't have anything to do with the conflict. And so just... what do they do with blame? That is so important to think about. And okay, they can do that, it's all my fault, or it's all their fault. I don't own anything with what I feel, it's just their fault. So those are a few things that I pay attention to as I listen to people. When I think of, I'm just gonna open it up. Is there anything, as you have listened to people, is there anything else that comes to mind to you? What do you listen for? Concepts of God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say a little more on that? Yes. Yes. Often they haven't put into words their concept of God. And it can surprise us, even us, when we're entering a different phase in life or even just normal life. What is my view of God today? It can surprise you. And to verbalize it. Mm-hmm. Anything else come to mind? And I really do like, if I have a formal meeting, to just, you know, spend a little bit of time praying, God, open my ears to what I need to hear. Many times, the person we're discipling, they really don't need any input. They know. They just haven't connected what they feel with the knowing. And so for you, having the honor to be a facilitator to that, without even words, just our spirit, God is moving in and he's doing his work. And so to learn how to listen. And, you know, for me, it's easier to give advice than to listen. So, of course, a constant prayer of mine is always, God, show me how to listen, because it's not my natural tendency. And so to just... And for you, maybe you're a good listener and your prayer needs to be, God, give me the courage to speak. Give me the courage to speak truth.
Another thing I thought is listen to what they dream about.
Yes.
Can give us a view of their things. Like for my foster
daughter, when she was a little girl, she used to dream dreams of rescue.
Yes.
And I think that's part of her gift.
That's good. I like that. Yes. Yes. Listen to their dreams. If you're a young mom, listen to their dreams. Listen what they're playing in the next room, you know? But listen. Yeah. And even as adult, just listen to that. What do you dream of doing?
I'm talking about dreams they have in the night.
Okay. Dreams at night. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you dream about? I know when, for me, when life is difficult and I'm not sure I'm going to keep up with my schedule, you know what my dreams are? I don't want to tell you. But, you know, there's always a catastrophe going on. There's always something that, you know, I can't, I mean, my contact is so huge and I'm supposed to get it in my eye. And I just can't. Nothing's working. I can't get my hair up. Anyway. Were you going to say something? Okay. We want to pray. We always want discipling younger women to call us to prayer. And if there's something I care about, sitting with ladies and validating who they are, it is to teach them how to pray. And so prayer is so important. There's the prayer of intercession, that sometimes meeting with a person needs to happen. And to remember that in Ephesians 6:12, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and spiritual powers in the heavens above. And I know when life is difficult and I can have my head together and this verse comes to me, it's like, you know what? That gives me energy. You know, he is not going to win with this one. No way. And I move forward. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And ladies, this is a powerful verse. If you stop and think about who is interceding for you, if you go back to the garden, Jesus had told the people all his life what was going to happen. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to rise in 3 days. He told his disciples that all the time. And yet, when it came right down to it, God, is there any way out of this? Isn't there any other way? Ladies, he knows how to intercede. He knows when you feel your cup is too big to carry. And so that gives me so much hope. There's so much hope. He identifies with me when I am very hormonal and I don't know what's wrong with me. You know? Well, he wasn't a lady, but I hope he's interceding and giving grace to all those around me during those times. Then there's a prayer of acknowledgement, just acknowledging that God is God and we are not. And to remember that. When a woman can acknowledge audibly what she feels, her prayer life will be different. The father can become a personal father. So that's why I care about discipling younger women, is teaching them how to pray, just to acknowledge, yes, that hurt. God, I'm going to talk to you about it. I also think of the story of John the Baptist. When you think of prayer, and I didn't look up the scripture, but John the Baptist is in prison, and he's questioning, go, Jesus, are you everything you had said? And Jesus says, go back and tell John, I am. So John the Baptist, he even questioned when he was, just before his death, he questioned, is this really the Messiah? In conclusion, a disciple is always learning how to grow in her relationship with the Lord, keep abiding in Him, be transparent about her own life. Discipleship is not a ministry, it is a lifestyle. As you go about your daily responsibilities, may you have this burning hunger for those around you to know Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know?
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.